All right, well, this evening we're going to look at a question about God's justice. And some may ask the question that sounds something like this, that why doesn't God punish the crimes that are in the world? And it seems that people get away with what they're doing and horrible things, let's be honest, are taking place in our world today. The more you look at the news, the more horrible the world seems. So why doesn't God punish those crimes? Why doesn't God reveal himself through his justice? And many times this can be a stumbling block to someone to come to the Lord for salvation. And the answer is, yes, God does punish crimes, and God is a God of justice. And here are some thoughts that may help you to answer a question like this. There in your notes, Roman numeral number one, let's remind those who ask that question that it is God that created human government. That it is God that created human government. So your blank is the word government or human. I'm not sure which I gave you. But God created human government. Thank you, brother. So let's be reminded that God has placed responsibility to judge crimes in our day into man's hand. It's God that created human government to begin with. It is God that created a system of law, and he has tasked the governments of the world with judging crimes. And here are some verses, of course, to support this statement. Romans chapter 13, and there are a number of verses there in your notes, verses 1 to 6. Have a look with me. The Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." So here we see God created government. "The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." And you can read down to verse number 6 later on. But basically, these passages tell us that God has given government the responsibility to judge evil, to deal with crimes within their jurisdiction, and to reward good for those that do good, and to reward evil to those that do evil. That is, to punish those that commit crimes and to reward those that are good. Now, in some countries, and you can use our country as an example, like in Australia, our government does a good job in fulfilling this task. Now, they do the best that they can. No government is perfect, but we do have a law system, do we not? A law system that in Australia is based upon Judeo-Christian truth, Ten Commandments. As we already heard in this series, there was a time where people had to swear on the Bible to give an oath. And we see that God is the creator of government. And when governments do their job properly, they are giving evidence to the fact that God does punish crimes. He has instituted government. God didn't just create man and said, "All right, go do what you want, live as you please, and make things up as you go." That's not the history of our origin at all. Now, when countries, for example, have a weak government, when criminals are not justly rewarded, and when they are not punished and they're rewarded instead, that is not God's fault. That's the evidence that we are all sinners, and that government can be corrupt because they've been corrupted by sin. In fact, in some countries, the leaders themselves are the greatest criminals. But that's not God's fault. But the very existence of order and government is not something that we created. If we had a choice, we would have no rules. We would have no speed cameras. Is that right?
We'd have no speeding fines. We'd have no rules so that we could do as we feel. Well, government was created by God. So yes, God is a God of justice. There's just a little thought to share.
Roman numeral number 2, God does judge sin today. God does judge sin, and your blank is the word, today. Now, because of the curse of sin in the world, the trouble that we experience is a part of God's judgment. It's not His complete judgment, but it is a part of His judgment. Sin has inbuilt judgment. Sin has inbuilt judgment. Now, we can see the effect of sin in our world today. That sin has physical judgment. There are diseases in the world today. There are natural disasters that take place because of the curse of sin. Floods and drought and earthquakes and animals that attack, accidents and many other catastrophes in our day are a result of sin. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7, the Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." God says we will reap what we sow. So God is a God of justice. He is at work in the world regarding judgment. And when we sin, we have a conscience, a built-in lawgiver, the law of God written in our hearts. We have a conscience. When we sin against that conscience of ours, then that guilt weighs on our shoulders. You can tell that person. You know, that is a judgment of God. And also, consequences will come about. You know, you can't just do anything you want and not reap the consequences. The first step is the guilt of the conscience. The second step is consequences that follow. Now, when the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked, here's an interesting thought, on an island, remember a poisonous snake bit him. And do you remember what the pagan onlookers said?
Yep.
They said, "He must have done something horrible to be bitten by a snake. I mean, he's been delivered from the sea. He survived the shipwreck. And now a snake has jumped up to bite him." And there's the literal verse in Acts 28 verse 4. "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." Now, they were wrong. But the Bible does reveal to us something in these verses, doesn't it? That man instinctively knows that there is a punishment to a crime, an inbuilt retribution. What you sow, that is what you will reap. They knew that crime will be avenged in some way and somehow in this life. And God does act behind the scenes to judge sin. Now, you may not see that on the news when it comes to corrupt nations. You may not see, and this is what it's important to mention. You know, you can't see what's happening in that person's life. You know, that person that hurt your family tragically, and as you sympathize with them, you know, you cannot see what is happening right now. They may put on a good face and pretend that they are happy, but inside, you can't see the turmoil, the nightmares they have when they wake up at night, the guilt of conscience and the things that are happening to them. God does judge sin today. And people may say, "Well, that's not enough. That's not severe enough. You know, that person deserves much more." And you can tell them this, that, well, if God judged sin in this world, every sin in the way it deserves, then look out, we would deserve it too. We would get it as well. If God judged every sin in this present world, He would have to judge every man every day. Every man every day. Why? Because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if I want God to judge those crimes committed against me, then I need to be ready for God to judge every crime that I commit against others. And we ought to be thankful that God does not judge sin immediately. So there's an interesting thought. Amen. A good thought to share. You know, God, if He revealed His standard of law, the Bible says He has. And the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We are all sinners in the sight of God. So what you're trying to do is work towards the gospel. Work towards the gospel. And say that we are responsible for our actions as well. God does judge sin today. And lastly, in your notes, God's judgment will be final one day. God's judgment will be final. Ultimately, God will judge completely. So, he does judge partially in this world, but he will judge completely, and his judgment will be final. God will hold every man accountable for everything he does in this life. Hebrews 9:27, the Bible says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." So take your Bible out, show them this verse, and say, there will be a great judgment. Then have a look at the details, of course, in Revelation 20:12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Those who die in their sin will be judged by their sin. They will be judged for their works, their sinful works that they have done. The verdict will be guilty, and their sentence will be eternal separation in the lake of fire. See, God will punish the criminal, and his justice will be perfect, but we must know that we are sinners also. And the reason why God does not judge sin to the full extent in this life, because he wants to give us an opportunity to be forgiven. That's why. And it's important for us as Christians to know God is long-suffering toward us. Why? Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he does not judge immediately, but he will judge finally. As my pastor used to say, the wheels of God's judgment move slowly but surely. They move slowly but surely. So share this with that person. God is a God of justice. And the important thing to realize out of this question, out of this conversation, is that God in his justice, by his law, demands the severest justice. We all deserve to be punished for our sins. And you can describe what sin is: lying, stealing, thinking lustful thoughts as adultery and so forth. God's Ten Commandments, his laws. But the wonderful news is that God's love has provided pardon, has provided salvation. God took our justice upon himself upon the cross. He bore our sins. He bore our iniquities once and for all. There in his holy, sinless blood, he paid for our sins once and for all to redeem us, to purchase us back to himself. There in your notes, 1 Peter 3:18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just," that is God, "the just, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Christ died for and paid for sin. He rose again from the dead. So we who are unjust can be forgiven because he has paid for our sins. God is a God of justice. You may not be able to share all these truths in one go. You may be able to share just a simple thought and ask them if you can meet with them again for a cup of coffee to show more of God's word. But again, our goal is to get to the gospel. Amen. To get to the gospel. Why doesn't God punish crime? Well, if he did, you'd be in big trouble. And so would I. To the full extent, he is long-suffering because he doesn't want us to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. So there are some answers to help to give an answer to every man that asketh of the hope that is in you, the reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear.